Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Colossians if you brought your Bible this morning. There's a transition coming. And this morning we're going to bring the preparation for transition. I refuse to let this church just become a church of people sitting around. I refuse to let this place come a place where we come to church and we go home and we forget about it till next week. I refuse just to have a place where people go on Sunday morning. I want every single person in this body to live the church life of the kingdom of God. I want you pursuing the Holy Spirit daily.
Yes. Amen.
And I'm excited about what God's doing in my life. I'm excited what God wants to do here, and it's not here yet. It's closer. We're not going backwards. But there are some decisions we need to make, and we need to base them on what Christ has done for us. Not that this is some kind of special church, not that pastor's going to yell at us if we don't. I'm not going to yell at you. But I'm going to invite you into a relationship with Jesus, the Father and the Holy Spirit, that is so amazingly fulfilling, temptation means nothing. Amen. And I believe we can reach that place. But I believe it's a place that we have to choose. God never forced salvation on you. How many understand that? You made a choice. That choice has amazing benefits. But that choice also has responsibility. I am responsible to God. You're not responsible to a lot of people who don't like the things you believe or don't like the way you're living or don't like this or don't like that. Your responsibility to those people are to share the truth. But you cannot look at yourself and say, I'm responsible for how they live. We okay? And so today I want to start from the beginning and build, and I don't know where I'll go next week. I don't know where I'll go. Well, the week after, I do know where I go. I'm going to go right back there with Judy. This is going to be a continuation of pursuing the manifestation and the transformation of the Holy Spirit, not only our lives, but in this community. Now, it's your choice today to look at that and say, huh, pastor must have had bad pizza again. Or you can look at that and say, I know God can do that in my life.
Yes.
I can't do it. I can't do it in my life. I can't do it in your life. I can only make a decision to have God do it in my life. So how many of you were ever sinners? Okay. The Bible says, I'm just going to take a couple verses here because I don't know. I worked on this and then I worked at it this morning and Mike and Uncle Bud came in and I was still working on it. And so I guess what I didn't finish we'll get into next week. But I got 3 pages of solid notes that take about an hour each. Poor puppy. We got one too. Verse 13 of chapter 1, talking about Jesus. He says, He has delivered us from the power of darkness. And the New King James says, conveyed, it means transferred or translated us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Skip down to verse number 17. And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist, or all things are held together. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 1:3 that God holds all things together by the word of His power. Look at me. If you start getting scared by the news, turn it off. God's not afraid of ISIS. God's not afraid of whacked out leaders. And you can put that any place you want it. God is absolutely, totally in control. Do you think God's concerned about global warming? I'll let you make that decision. I'm not. But here's what happens. The Bible says that every single one of us at one time were dead in our trespasses and sins. We lived in darkness. In other words, we were taken captive. We were slaves of sin and Satan. Now, some went deeper than others, but everyone was captive. Okay? Some people didn't become alcoholic or drug addicts or murderers or rapists or whatever. They didn't do that, but they were still born into sin. But the Bible says God delivered us from the power of darkness. In other words, God reached down into a dark realm, reached down and picked us out of that and put us into the light and the kingdom of His beloved Son. Jesus said people like darkness because their deeds are evil. John chapter 3. For some people, darkness has been comfortable. Because their mind has been focused and controlled by the thoughts of the enemy. But when the glory of God shines in and begins to show people what's really happening, most people will want to change. I know for some it took a while. For some of you it took more than 2 or 3 minutes to want to change. Huh? Didn't? He delivered us, and Kirk used the word this morning, restored us to the place where He originally started with man, sinless. Adam was not born into sin. And He took us from a place of darkness, of hopelessness, of frustration, of terror, and death, and He gave us hope and life and peace and joy.
Amen.
Now, I don't see the joy, but I see a lot of eyes staring at me. Somebody smile, will you? I'm scared. And so He chose to give you a new realm, a new level, a new spiritual life. Instead of being bound and controlled by an evil force of Satan, God reached down. And the Bible says in Psalm 40 that He reached down into the miry clay. He picked us out of the miry clay, set our feet upon a rock, put a song in our heart that many will see and directed our path. Now, how do people see a song? You hear a song. But the song that Jesus put in your spirit is a song of life, and people see that you went from death to life. They understand that there's been a transition.
That's right, amen.
That transition gives you amazing benefits.
That's right.
But a lot had to take place to get this transition or translation complete. I want you to understand something. Liberty is never cheap. You can go back to 1775 and 77 and 1780 and realize the cost men paid and women for this nation to become a democracy, which some people will say we're not, but I'm not going to argue. It costs men and women their lives. But there was a banner over our country, and it's called the flag. And people for years died for that flag. There's a banner of God over your life, and that banner is called love.
Amen.
I want you to think about it. Something happened, and I was thinking the other day, and I bounced it off Kirk, and I know it was too deep for him. You know, I want you to think of something. How would you like to have been in heaven at the resurrection? Think about that. But this is not what I asked Kirk. How would you have liked to have been in hell at the resurrection? Can you imagine what happened in hell? Jesus said in Revelation 1:18, I was alive and dead and I'm alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and hell. How did he get them? There was no battle. The battle was over. He just walked in there and took them. He just walked in and took, destroyed, annihilated, wiped out the stronghold that Satan had held over everybody's head for years. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 2, I believe it is, he talks about the fact that Christ basically, and I'm paraphrasing, set us free from that power of death which controlled people's minds for years. At the end of the chapter, that kept people in subject to fear. Now Satan has those. I mean, Jesus has those. We die, but hey man, it ain't bad.
That's right.
I told people at the funeral, I said, Saturday I walked in to talk to Felix. He was eating breakfast and he had just awakened from 18 hours of sleep. And he saw Nate, and he saw his daughter, he saw Junior, and he saw me. He went back to sleep after I left, and the next one he saw was Jesus. Not a bad transition. Wow. From Fargo to heaven? Come on. Even if they made a movie, it's not that great a place. And so, he comes in, he takes Satan's weaponry, he takes the threats of Satan, and all Satan has left are words to confuse and to challenge. And don't let those words stay in your mind.
Amen.
They come, but you don't have to leave them there. So that's a little bit in a nutshell, but the next verse kind of opens it up even more. Deeper. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. The word redemption means to purchase or to ransom. Interesting. How many have ever watched a TV or a movie where there was a ransom to be paid? Kirk is the only one. The rest of you aren't going to be unspiritual so that you can tell me that you watched television or you watched a movie. You pay a ransom when somebody kidnaps somebody, and the only way you're going to get them back is to pay for it. Can you associate that with Christ? The Bible says that we were taken captive out of our own lusts. That we opened the door for Satan to come in and take us captive. Jesus could not have just walked in there and said, I want him back. Because we were his possessions. Jesus had to pay the price. And the price was blood. Okay? The price was his blood. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse number 18. Knowing that you were not redeemed, ransomed, or purchased. Okay, we okay? With corruptible things like silver or gold from our aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Your redemption, your ransom, your purchase that God made could only be made by perfect blood. There had to be a virgin birth because the Bible says that sin passed through Adam to everyone. There had to be a sinless birth, which meant there had to be a virgin who gave birth without a man. And so that baby could be sacrificed. Understand? And without that perfect Lamb of God, without spot or blemish, we would all still be in our sins. It took the blood of Jesus on the cross flowing for you and me. Okay. That was supernatural. Now don't fall off your chairs. No natural act of man, even putting water on somebody, can save them.
That's right.
Think about it. I'm not knocking any denomination. There's nothing that I can do for you to give you salvation except to tell you it's available because of that cross and because of the blood of Jesus. And without the shedding of his blood, there's no forgiveness of sin.
That's right, amen.
You can come to church till the cows come home. And we'll just open the gate at Curtis's and let them come home. But it's not gonna save you.
That's right.
And so Jesus, it was prophesied 1,000 years before, at least, he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the punishment of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray, but the Lord laid upon him the iniquity of us all. So Jesus, and this is why man can't do anything, Jesus was the only one that could bear the punishment for sin in his body and through his blood and be accepted by the Father. There's no other way. Aren't you glad?
Amen.
Aren't you glad you don't have to crawl up 2,000 steps with glass and cut your knees and slash your wrist and do everything else to find Christ? Aren't you glad?
Yes.
Boy, I sure wish I could see it. And so he walked this life out. Now, keep in mind, it wasn't over yet. Just because he was born of a virgin doesn't mean he was able to do that. He had to live under the law without breaking it. Follow me? He had to live under the Levitical law in the book of Leviticus without breaking it, except he touched the leper. Pretty amazing. The leper should have been killed. The woman taken in adultery should have been killed. But I want to tell you something. Jesus didn't live only under the law, he lived under grace.
Amen.
Compassion, love. So that he would shed his blood for you and me. You know, sometimes I'm preaching, I get goosebumps. You know, it's crazy. I feel like I could just rise and take off and leave you folks and goodbye, ceiling. But it's true. Now here's your part. When you came to Christ, you looked at what Christ had done, and you're saying, I'm buying in. I'm buying in. And I don't mean you paid for it. It's already paid for. But now, and this is the part I don't believe Christians get a hold of, and it's going to sound like I'm really wacko, but that's okay. Now I belong to Jesus. What does that mean? It's deeper than just saying, hallelujah, I'm going to heaven. Now that I belong to Jesus, he owns me. You want to say that?
Yes.
Say, Jesus owns me.
Jesus owns.
He's entitled to tell me how to live.
Tell me how to live.
Okay? Okay, let's see how this goes over. I want you to know there's no compromise here. The Holy Spirit, the Father, and the Son don't compromise to get us to heaven. And you say, oh, now you're getting hard. No, I'm just being honest.
That's right, amen.
You know? 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Boy, this hit me. I'm praying and reading and doing stuff, getting ready, and I'm sitting right there. I'm kneeling over there. And the thought came, now I belong to Jesus. I think you said that today. What does that mean? We're redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus, not gold or silver or precious stones. Verse 19 of chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Where's the Holy Spirit? Who is in you? Whom you have from God, and you are not your own. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay. If you're not your own, raise both your hands or one hand. Say, Jesus, I surrender.
Jesus, I surrender.
Really? Okay. Now I'm not afraid anymore. Because I can give you the next verse. For you were bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are... Can't hear you.
God's.
Still can't hear you.
God's.
Can't hear you.
God's.
Okay. So how many of you have ever bought a car? I didn't ask you what the car was like. How many of you took ownership of that car? How many of you told people, this is my car, and if I tell you you're not driving it, you're not driving it? Huh? So Paul gets a new car. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I know who's got a new car. So I come and say, I want your car. I want to go skunk hunting with it. And my favorite meal is barbecued skunk, so you know where they're going. When I get a few, I'm going to throw them in the back.
You clean it.
Oh, no, that's your car. So they have a right to tell me no, right?
Right.
So God sent his son to die. In that death, when you received him, this is what you basically said. I accept the legal contract spiritually to be your child. Did we? I accept it. I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. I don't want to carry all these sins around. I don't want to be burdened down with all these things. I don't want guilt. I don't want condemnation. I want to be free. God, save me. Be my Lord and be my Savior. I give my life to who?
To you.
To you. And what does he say? I accept you. And here's what happens. I'm going to justify you. I'm going to declare that you're now righteous. I'm going to reconcile you with me. I'm no longer angry about sin in your life. I'm going to give you peace. I'm going to give you joy. I'm going to give you forgiveness. I'm going to blot out all your sins. Now here's your part. Here's the part of the covenant that we kind of don't like. You're going to live for me. Really? That means you're going to take my driver's manual and you're going to find out what I like from you, what I expect. But Lord, I don't like that part. It's a contract. Okay, let me illustrate. You buy a new car. You take it to Jason to change something in the motor under warranty. What happens to your warranty? Done. Yeah. Right, Jason? He don't want your new car anyway. He likes the old ones. And so God is saying, you come to me because I led you. I want you. Now here's what I want from you. I want you to live holy.
Amen.
Be holy for I am holy. Hebrews. Nothing different. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse number 23, or 22 and 23. Are we okay?
Yes.
Boy, you're suddenly quiet. I want to do something before you go there. Boy. The Bible says that God demonstrated his love toward us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. And being justified by faith, we have peace with God. See the cross? You see that cross? That cross meant nothing until Jesus died. Right? We okay? Okay. How many of you have ever felt God didn't love you? How many still feel that way? And you know something's up, don't you? Because here's what I'm going to tell you. Every time the devil tells you God doesn't love you, tell him about the cross. And today, if you are living here now, and you are, I want you to bow before that cross, the cross meaning nothing, except it's a demonstration of God's love, and then tell God he doesn't love you. You walk up to this cross, put your hand here, and look to heaven and say, God, you don't love me. Anybody want to try? I'll wait here for you. You cannot look at the cross and not understand that God loves you. You can't. Because this is a demonstration of his love. So if the devil's been battering you up, yeah, you're too bad, you're too this, you're too something else, the blood of Christ took care of that.
That's right, amen.
But sometimes we have to do something that changes our thought process. And standing in front or kneeling at that cross and looking up to God, you're not worshiping the cross. It's not an idol, okay? You're looking to God and saying, God, I don't think you can. I don't think you can. Amen?
Amen.
Anybody want to try? Okay. So, the next time you come in and talk to Pastor or Kirk, and you start out with, well, God don't love me, you know where you're going. You know where you're going. Verse 22. Abstain from every form of evil. Really? Now let me tell you something. That's not how you define evil. That's what God defines evil. Now may the God of peace, I love this verse, himself, the God of peace himself, sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So God is saying throughout all the scripture, I didn't save you just to get you to heaven, although I want you with me. I saved you so we can have a relationship and walk this life out together, with you glorifying me and me honoring you. Is that okay?
Yes, sir.
I saved you so that you could live above the threats, the attacks, the lies, the chatterbox of Satan, where you can come to a place where you can look at me and say, God, I know you love me, and that breaks bondage all by itself. Because if he loves us, then everything he's given us, he's given us.
Yes.
You know what that does? That frees you from trying to earn something from God. I'm going to tell you something, although I don't really want you to know this. You miss a couple Sundays in a row, you're not going to hell. Okay? I mean, yeah. Some of you missed two Sundays in a row. I've been counting. So all the things that used to build up that Satan would condemn us and the guilt he'd throw at us and the things he'd do to us, and we didn't have any retaliation to that because we felt, well, maybe he's right. I did this and I haven't done that. You like walking? Lana, you like walking? Come here. I'm going to sit and she's taking over. Oh, yeah. Oh, I love this part of the message. You poor thing. You did come.
I did. Why?
Why? Because, come here. When did you realize that you were loved by God?
13 months ago.
After you accepted Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And how'd that change your life?
Radically.
Yeah. Because if all of us can accept the fact that we're loved, even though we're not perfect, and that helps us make better decisions.
That's right.
Helps us change our thoughts and our lifestyle. Thank you. John, can you come here, man? I love this guy. I love Atlanta, too. All I want to know, and I ask you to, before you even walked up here, you know now God loves you?
Yes.
And what does that do?
It's freeing.
It's freeing. Thank you, buddy. It's free. I want you to understand something, and I'm done. I'm not going to finish everything I was going to, but when we come to a place of harmony in our lifestyle with God, it frees us from yielding to temptation. It really does. And you say, what are you talking about? Love is free.
Amen.
Love is free all by itself. And then to understand the God that holds all things together, that made us, has absolutely given us radical love like nobody else can. And when we start walking in that, why in the world would I want to go back to the devil?
That's right, amen.
Right? It's not an option. I'm going to live for the one who loves me.
Amen.
Satan's never loved in his life.
That's right.
He had in the back of his mind when he was in heaven, I'm going to get that throne. The Bible says, I'm going to rise above God. I'm going to sit on the throne. Isaiah 15 or 13 or wherever it is. But when you know you can walk out of that building and no matter what the week brings, you are loved.
Yes, amen.
Amazingly loved. And so you say, doggone it, I wish that wouldn't have happened. God says, I do too. Come on. He doesn't want to see his children in major problems. He loves you. But he has deeper expectations for us than we've stepped into.
That's right.
But we're stepping into them. Because that pursuit of the Holy Spirit. And that doesn't mean he's not in me. It just means he wants to manifest himself in marvelous ways. That's all he wants to do. And he wants to bring transformation to all our lives beyond where we are. You can call it new levels. You can call it whatever you want. He wants to take you deeper. We sang that this morning. Because he loves you. Wow. There's a glory of God here. So, as you begin to see eruptions of the Holy Spirit in your life, all God asks is that you give him glory to God. Amen.